From the world of Hollywood to the world of sports to chaos in the nations to what's happening in America, we'll give you a kingdom perspective on the news today, right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, if you've read Psalm 46, it reminds us that God is a refuge and strength and tells us even if the whole world is basically falling apart, I mean, literally, God is a refuge and strength. Nice to know it in the midst of chaos, in the midst of so much shaking happening all around the world. Nice to know that the scripture says our God is a rock and the righteous will never be shaken. Isn't that amazing? Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us on this first day of the week, this Monday here on The Line of Fire. You know, just a couple days not being on the radio, so much happens around the world, so much happening in America, so many things going on that I want to comment on. But I want to bring you encouragement and faith and strength in the midst of the chaos. Those who really know the Lord should never be shaken by what's happening in the world. We may suffer personal loss. We may go through trial and upheaval, but there is this ultimate sense that the kingdom of God is marching on. Now, any point you want to weigh in on what I'm saying, because I'm going to cover a lot of ground today, any subject I bring up that you've got something to say on, or you've got a question about it, or you differ with me, number to call, 866-348-7884. That's 866-34-TRUTH. I wrote a couple of articles yesterday that were published today, one on Charisma News, one on Town Hall. And the one on Charisma News is called, God is not threatened by your honest questions. God is not threatened by your honest questions. Grumbling, complaining is one thing. Having a lousy, sinful, judgmental attitude is one thing. But as a child of God, as a person of faith, having honest questions for God in the midst of challenges and struggles, that's often a reflection of faith rather than unbelief, because God's the one you know you have to go to. Well, the same way here in the Line of Fire, we're not threatened by honest questions. We're not threatened by probing questions. We're not threatened by disagreement. So, in fact, let me just give you a special announcement. Tomorrow, on the Line of Fire, on our Tuesday broadcast, we are having our first cessationist call-in day. If you believe that the gifts and power of the Spirit that were promised in the New Testament were just for that time period to establish the church, and that the miraculous gifts as an ongoing pattern stopped, ended with the days of the apostles, stopped and ended with the closing of the New Testament canon, then by all means, give us a call. Share with me why. I absolutely do not agree with that position, and I'd love to hear someone give an intelligent, scriptural defense of cessationism, the view that the gifts and power of the Spirit are no longer operative in a normative way for believers today. So I'll be looking forward to your calls with great interest on our next broadcast, Cessationist Call-In Day. That'll take place tomorrow, Tuesday, right here on the Line of Fire. Okay, I don't know if you've heard the word, heard the news about the latest Hollywood multi-million dollar flop. I have some comments on that. And I actually have some comments on sports. Oh, not who won, who lost, but our idolatry with sports. And then some real serious issues, what's happening in Egypt.
Flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast on this Monday, where we catch up on what's happening in the media, in the world, and give you a kingdom perspective, again, to weigh in with your comments, with your agreement, disagreement, questions, 866-348-7884. Okay, I am not an expert on Hollywood. I'm not an expert on the movies. I'm not a film critic. I rarely see movies. And when I go to a movie, it's normally with the grandkids, and it'll be a G-rated movie. So, again, I'm not weighing in as some film critic. There's tons of stuff out there that I will never see by choice. I would say the vast majority of what comes out of Hollywood I will not see by choice. So I've just got a broader thought and observation here. Reading over the weekend about the new Lone Ranger movie, it's got some big stars in it. It cost something like $250 million to make. I can't even imagine. $250 million to make a movie. I, for the life of me, can't imagine what could go into it that could cost $250 million. But headlines are saying that this is the summer's third big bomb with famous stars and massive budgets, and that Disney could take a $150 million loss on this. And it makes me wonder if there isn't this media movie sensational saturation that, because you have to keep going further, you have to keep having better effects, you have to keep having a more major budget to produce all the mind-numbing, emotion-stirring things you want to produce. If there isn't this saturation, just like there's only so much you can eat before you start to get sick to your stomach. Again, I'm not looking at this in any scientific way. I'm just wondering, is it that everything has to go further and further and further and further? It's not just the good plot and the good story. Now here's the thing that's so amazing, is that the movies that have been the biggest movies, even quickly passing the big Superman movie, which I haven't seen either, but we had a whole talk about that, the imagery of it a few weeks ago, because it was so much in the news. But what's interesting is you got these animated children's movies that are smashing the records. Now, I don't know about the Lone Ranger movie. I don't think it's some horrifically violent, sex-filled, profanity-filled, ungodly movies that barely got an R rating. I don't think that's the case at all with it. But I'm just saying that it seems that Hollywood has its particular way of doing things, and if they'll just look at overall budget and overall sales and overall interest, it seems these animated movies. I know it costs a lot to do these animated movies, but these children's level movies, the type that a whole family could watch, these are the ones that tend to make the most money. Interesting. And the simple moral lessons that are learned from a lot of these seem to do a lot better. Fascinating, huh? 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. One other general observation, and then I want to play a shocking clip from an ad that is now airing on Australian TV. I'll follow sports sometimes just to chill. I will watch some sports. Normally I'll be doing emailing or some kind of stuff, just busy stuff in the background, but just chill, rest, watch some sports, and I think it's good. We all need to just unwind sometimes. So that's how I'll do it from time to time. And then I'll look in the sports page, just see what's happening, just mindless stuff here and there. I'd like to redeem the time even better where I don't do that at all, but sometimes I'll do it. And there's the whole big story, the whole big story about the NBA player Dwight Howard. I just mentioned that for those who may not know who he is, one of the most dominant players in the game. And he was with one team, and then he switched over to the L.A. Lakers last year, and now he was going to leave them. Was he going to stay? Was he going to leave them? Was he going to stay? Was he going to leave them? Was he going to stay? And everybody's talking about it. The story's about it. Where's he going to go? And all this unbelievable money thrown his way, and he's going to go to Houston. And I thought, who in the world cares? I understand that there can be fun of sports. I understand that these things can potentially have a role in society, but we are so caught up with this nonsense. We are so caught up with all the frenzy. You know, sometimes you see a news story and it's so-and-so, some celebrity going with so-and-so. You think, who in the world cares? And then you think, wait, there are people who are full-time gossip columnists. What a dumb job. What a worldly, fleshly, worthless job. If that's you and you're listening, let me tell you, God has something better for you to be doing with your talents. You've got the paparazzi. You've got the full-time photographers who are just following some celebrity to get a picture. You think, how stupid. Who cares about this stuff? Oh, when they've got a new fashion style. Oh, when they're... It just is so idiotic. You say, Mike, you sound a little over the top. Well, this stuff is just stupid. And it's stupid if we waste our time on it, get focused on it, consume with it. I certainly hope no believers are. I imagine they are, though. But, you know, is he going to go to this team? Is he going to go to that team? And I understand for him it's a big decision. And I understand for those in the NBA, it's a big deal. And I understand for the very devoted fans, it's a big deal. But when I think of what God is doing in the earth today, and when I think of the needs of the world, and when I think of the reality of eternity, and when I think of what really matters, it is just so silly. And yet we get so consumed and caught up with it and into it, and all our lives seem to depend on the success of our team and sport or whatever. So I just wanted to get that out. And for those you're like, man, I've been praying that he would come to Houston. Now you're raining on my parade. Well, maybe Dwight Howard coming to Houston was not a specific answer to your prayer, just to throw that mix in. Throw that into the mix, I should say. Okay. Changing gears. A colleague sent this link. It's to a YouTube video from an Australian TV commercial. And it's a couple, and they're in the doctor's office, and the mom is pregnant. And the doctor, there is a woman, she's doing the ultrasound. And okay, everything seems to be coming along well, and you want to know what you're having. I just want you to hear this clip that is now being aired in Australia.
Well, everything seems to be coming along fine. Now, would you like to know what you're having?
We would.
You're having a lesbian.
Lesbian.
Yeah, serious, that is an actual TV commercial. And the model being, hey, your next child could be gay, so you need to have the right attitude towards it. So not only does it put forth the myth of born that way, and again, there is no reputable scientific evidence that someone is born that way. All right, start there. But it's also now going further to say, theoretically, based on that, you could actually see some genetic issue, some that you could actually see in advance, however it is that allegedly you could see. I understand they're just trying to make a point. But then it raises something that I dealt with in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which is this. What if someone, parent could tell, they could be told in advance by the ultrasound, that their child, they were going to have a gay child, they were going to have a homosexual child, gay or lesbian child, as if it was possible to be born that way and as if it was possible to see it in advance, as per this TV commercial. What if they then decided that they were going to abort that baby with the same ones who are championing the rights, championing, that's hard to pronounce. They are champions of the right to abort for any reason. The woman should have the right to choose for any reason. Okay, she's going to have a Down syndrome baby. She can abort that baby. She just can't afford to have another child. She should abort that baby. It was unplanned pregnancy, and they can't afford another child. Abort that baby. That's the woman's right to choose. Well, should she have the right to choose to abort a baby if she found out it was going to be gay? What do you think that is going to lead people? 866-34-TRUTH. Back with your calls.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I believe that we are at the biggest moment in our generation's history in terms of civil rights movements. I believe in tolerance. I believe in compassion. And I believe in equality.
Sounds like a gospel preacher, doesn't it? Except that is the wildly popular Macklemore, and he was, going to say ministering, he was performing at the Summer Bash, B96 Summer Bash, just 3 weeks ago, and he's got a viral hit, YouTube hit, where he very clearly advocates for full embrace of homosexuality and homosexual rights, and young people are caught up with that. Again, these are things we can't avoid. These are things that are flooding the airwaves and schools and politics and courts. And one way or another, we're being forced to make a choice. I've got more to say about that in a moment, but parents, can I encourage you that if your kids do not share your faith, that you've sought to raise them in the Lord, but right now they're embracing different moral values or having a lot of questions about what they believe, or your way seems narrow or bigoted to them in some way, can I encourage you, while holding your own standards firmly, can I encourage you to do your best to help them experience God for themselves, know God for themselves, encounter God for themselves, experience His love and goodness, experience His holy conviction, experience Him and the truth of the gospel, rather than trying to push harder to get them to agree with you? Live out your views, live out your values so that they see the beauty and life of what it means to know the Lord. And then be there with them for honest questions. Don't be threatened by their honest questions. And if you don't know how to answer, there are plenty of others who do. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, before I go any further, let me take some calls, starting with Kathleen. And we lost Kathleen and Patchogue. Patchogue is one of the first places I preached when I was a new preacher at the age of 18, 40 years ago. Rhonda in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. I just wanted to comment on the earlier segments about this basketball player and the movies. And really, I think this is a distraction for the American public because they're unable or unwilling to really address the real issues out there. So as we have kind of demasculinized, if that's a word, the men in our society, their refuge, since they feel like with all the political correctness, they can't discuss politics in a reasonable manner. They can't you know, and it's fine that people will disagree with each other. You might have one view, I might have another view, but people in this country have become too afraid to sit down and have a real conversation using real words and not hiding behind all of the political correctness and, you know, hiding behind all of the euphemisms that we make, because they feel like that's their only outlet. So they'll discuss sports or this celebrity nonsense because they can't. A wise man once told me that when people can't deal with what's important, when people can't understand what's important, they understand what they can deal with. And so they're just trying to deal with what they can. And so they just block out the important things that we're talking about in our society, about the marginalization of our Judeo-Christian values. They don't want to talk about the fact that there are agendas that are being pushed by people who aren't actually using the words that totally describe their agendas, because they don't want to, because they use euphemisms to make it sound like this makes us nice, this makes us polite. I heard someone on CNN say, well, you know, that's not what makes polite, kind people in our world today. And I thought to myself, and this probably 20-something talking head on CNN gets to decide what makes a kind,
course,
nice person. Jesus, not the Bible, not anything moral.
Yeah, and of course, not just that. The whole nice thing is my way or the highway. The whole alleged niceness is absolutely intolerant, downright nasty towards other views, and justifies itself saying that we have a right to be nasty towards bigots like you. But, you know, what you say is very interesting, Rhonda. And, you know, there's always the question of what comes first, the chicken or the egg. But certainly the degree to which these things are distractions and these things are kind of like opiates for the masses, to use that old term.
Yeah.
And that we can just be saturated with our entertainment, sports, culture. I mean, especially with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of constant options of what to watch and so on. And then the intensity of what's out there. Yeah, it's very easy for us to medicate ourselves to sleep while the world burns around us. And I wrote an article a couple weeks ago about these constant invitations I'd get on Facebook to play this game or that game or this game. And I'd be right in the middle of writing an article with my heart breaking for America and burdened to share this, or thinking of an inspirational quote to put on social media to stir people's hearts. And then I get this thing, you know, play Bubble Safari, play Candy Crush Saga. And I thought, okay, I understand that people need to unwind, or maybe they're connecting with family members and things like that. But I'm thinking, what in the world are we doing? Nero fiddled while Rome burned, and we piddle our time away with so many trivialities, and we get consumed with them as if they really matter. Hey, Rhonda, thanks for the observations. Friends, this week, 2 days from now, we launch our national TV show, Answering Your Toughest Questions, starting with a 32-week series on answering Jewish objections to Jesus. Friends, nothing like this has ever been done on national television before, and we'd love it for you to stand with us and be part of the joy of seeing this broadcast go out. For everyone supporting our work with a gift of $50 or more this week, I want to send you a signed copy of my commentary on Jeremiah. It's over 500 pages long, plus it comes together with a fine commentary on Ezekiel and Lamentations, almost 1,000 pages in a beautiful hardcover volume. I'll sign it for you, your gift of $50 or more, to help us launch this new TV broadcast and reach out to the lost sheep of the House of Israel. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. If you're listening on one place, just click on the order form there, or go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Thanks for partnering with us. Together, friends, we are making a difference in a lot of lives.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. In the first half hour of today's broadcast, I talked about some things on my mind after the weekend, Hollywood spending something like $250 million on this new Lone Ranger movie, and apparently it's going to be a massive loss. Just wondering out loud, and again, I'm not a moviegoer. If I've gone to see movies in the last few years, they've been basically G-rated movies with grandkids. So I'm not exactly savvy to what's out there in terms of being a film critic, but it seems everything's getting more and more extreme, more and more sensationalized, and more unbelievable effects. And you know, just wondering if things have reached such a saturation level that you just put out a nice little children's thing with a nice little moral story to it, and everybody goes flocking for that. Also talked about how silly it seemed just reading in the sports pages about where will center Dwight Howard end up. Just realize how much we make idols out of this silly stuff. It really doesn't matter. And the light of eternity, it really doesn't matter, does it? In the light of eternity, so many things that have our interest now, so many things that consume our time, so many things that pull at us really don't matter. And often the things that really do matter, we neglect. 866-348-7884. I do want to talk with you in a little while about what's happening in Egypt. I have an article up on townhall.com, Islam, Violence, and Civil War, where I talk about the history of violence within Islam, the history of civil war within Islam, as the people of Egypt are in a really critical situation. It is so volatile. It is so, so volatile with over 80 million people living there. So better than one quarter the size of the United States in terms of population in a much, much smaller area, of course, proportionately. I want to give you some perspective on that in terms of Islam. But friends, a lot of believers today don't want to be bothered with reality. A lot of believers today would rather not have to face certain facts. Here, look, it's just like you don't want to go to the doctor because you know the doctor's going to tell you you have to change your diet or you have to change your lifestyle. Or you don't want to answer the phone because it's the debt collector calling to set up a payment plan. Or you don't want to deal with certain issues because of the accountability involved. You know, a lot of us just would rather have our ears tickled. A lot of us would just rather get distracted with some superficial what's in it for me message. Would rather just get distracted with some kind of silly hype. Or would rather get distracted with the world of sports. It really does matter who wins and who loses. Oh yeah, it really matters. And hang on. Let me give you the score from my grandson Andrew's recent baseball games. You say, well, who cares? Just a kid playing game. Well, it's just older kids playing games for mega money. And then the saturation of entertainment culture pouring in. Friends, we are addicted to trivialities. We are addicted to things that do not matter. We are addicted to things, consumed with things, interested in things, giving our heart to things that are so secondary. And then when someone comes and says, you know, we've really got an issue here to deal with. You know, did you hear about the people chanting Hail Satan at a pro-life rally and counter demonstration and the militancy and ugliness of the pro-abortion position? Oh yeah, that's really bad. But did you hear what happened in sport? Did you see the movie? Friends, that's why we need awakening. Awakening, sounding the alarm. Back with your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for being part of The Line of Fire broadcast today, 866-348-7884. Tomorrow will be our cessationist call-in day. If you hold to the view that the miraculous gifts of the New Testament, the miraculous gifts of the Spirit, the so-called sign gifts, tongues and prophecy and miraculous healing, were limited to New Testament times, ceased with the end of the days of the apostles, ceased when the New Testament canon was completed, are no longer normative for today. Tomorrow's your day to call in with your arguments for cessationism. I am not a cessationist. We will have a friendly discussion, and we want to focus on the Word of God, not experience. We can talk about experience in a secondary. We want to focus on the Word of God. 866-348-7884. Last week, I had Matt Slick on the air with me. He had been lied to by the producers of The Daily Show, widely watched on the Comedy Channel, and a decent percentage of young people go there to get their news. So they'll actually do some reporting of things, but then everything bathed in sarcasm and comedy and primarily complete ridiculing of anything that would even remotely resemble biblical values. So Matt knew what he was getting into in terms of the station, but thought it was worth the try, thought it was worth stepping out into the lion's den based on what they told him, but they blatantly lied to him. And one of the goals was to set up this idea, to mock the idea that there was any persecution of Christians by the homosexual community. Now, the way it was portrayed by putting words in his mouth or taking something where he was repeating something he didn't agree with back to them and then editing it, they made it sound as if he was saying, yeah, there are gangs of homosexuals who are going around hunting heterosexuals and beating them up, or, you know, which, of course, is nonsense and not what he was saying. But this was part of their goal, to get this type of effect so that they could have this public service announcement for homophobic evangelical Christians who feel like they're being bullied by gays. Listen to this from The Daily Show.
A PSA for homophobic evangelical Christians who feel like they're being bullied by gays.
I realize this is a confusing time for you.
You're experiencing all sorts of new emotions.
When people call you homophobe, remember, 20 years ago, that would have been a compliment.
Don't let what other people say get to you.
Whether it's begging for compassion or just pleading for the same legal rights as everyone else,
just brush it away.
Just be proud of who you are.
Someone who doesn't want other people to be proud of who they are.
It gets better.
Better.
Better. Maybe. I mean, probably not for you.
You guys have Kirk Cameron. That's something, right?
Kirk Cameron, he's one of yours.
All right, so obviously there's going to be the complete ridiculing of this and painting this picture, you idiot homophobic Christians. Well, here's the first thing. May I point out that tolerance is a one-way street with these folks? In other words, you must accept our viewpoint, you must accept our sexual orientation, you must accept our family arrangement, you must accept whatever we say is the in thing, the right thing, the good thing, and if you don't accept it, we will be utterly and completely intolerant towards you. I've told you about this before, but there was a company, Caribou Coffee. They're not as big as Starbucks, but they're a national chain. And that they were going to be sponsoring a gay pride event here in Charlotte a few years ago for the first time. And I wrote to them saying, on behalf of our network, the Coalition of Conscience, I wrote to them and said, look, we're not asking you to put Bibles in your stores, but why not remain neutral on something so culturally volatile? And right here in Charlotte, it's a volatile issue. I wrote this a few years back in Charlotte. I said, why make such a divisive stand? Why not just remain neutral on this, because you're gonna have certain people happy, you're gonna offend a lot of others. And they wrote back and said, no, we want to be inclusive. We want to stand with all of our customers. We want to show solidarity with the entire community. US Airways did the same thing. When I questioned them on why they were doing what they were doing, they said, no, it's solidarity with all of our consumers and all of our customers, and we want to show solidarity with the larger community. So just as I wrote to U.S. Airways and, of course, got a zero, absolutely lame response from them on this, I wrote back to Caribou Coffee and said, okay, I'm disappointed with your answer. However, since you want to show solidarity with all of your customers and you want to show solidarity with the entire community, I'm asking you to stand with us and sponsor an event we're having. We're going to have this wonderful pro-life rally. We're going to celebrate the sanctity of life beginning in the womb. We're going to celebrate teen abstinence from sex, and we're going to celebrate marriage and family. And we'd love for you to be a sponsor, and we've got some local businesses that are going to be sponsoring the event. Now, at this point, it was all on paper. Folks said, yeah, we'll stand with you on this. So I did this also to test where they were coming from. But we were planning out an event at that point. So I gave them the details of it, and they wrote back and said, no, we will not work with you because we are inclusive. Yeah, I actually saved the letter. We will not work with you because we are inclusive. So inclusive means absolute exclusivity to all views other than ours. And tolerance means utter intolerance towards those who differ with us. And diversity means my way or the highway. So here's what's happening now, as of today in Colorado. reading from the Free Republic, gay marriage, as they're terming it, was banned by the Colorado Constitution in 2006. But this didn't stop the Colorado Attorney General's office from filing a discrimination complaint against Masterpiece Cake Shop for not baking a cake for a gay couple, because it's in the laws of most of our states that you cannot discriminate based on, quote, sexual orientation. So, you know the story, a mother and her daughter go in to the bakery, to Masterpiece Cake Shop, and they say, we'd like a cake, wedding cake, and the guy says, okay, great, fine. And he says to the daughter, okay, I just need to know the date, and gives the date. Okay, now I need to know your name and the groom's name. And she chuckles, and it's, well, it's me and my part, you know, or my partner, it's another woman. And he says, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Well, freedom of religion, right? Freedom of conscience. That certainly trumps this sexual discrimination thing. It's one thing if someone came into his bakery and said, hey, I'm gay and I'd like a cake. And he said, sorry, I don't serve gay people. That would be sinful and rightly illegal discrimination. It would be one thing if he was hiring someone and there was someone who was a baker and he said, all right, I want to hire you for the job. And she said, I just want you to know I'm a lesbian. He said, well, you're baking cakes. That's what you're doing here. You're baking cakes. So great. The job is yours. If he said, no, I'm not going to hire you because I don't like lesbians, that would be wrong. That would be discriminatory. Okay, we're not talking about hiring someone to be your children's minister in your church. We're talking about baking a cake. However, to say that he's going to be prosecuted, and by the way, cases like this are coming up all over America. This is not one of those things you can just ride the storm out, because you are not going to be allowed to hold to a position of neutrality. You are not going to be allowed to just say, well, I have my own convictions and that's what I live by. And that's what we preach and teach in our church, but I'm not trying to get in your face over it. No, you are being forced to make a choice. So, the Advocate gay publication said a Denver bakery that refused to make a wedding cake for a gay couple is about to face the legal heat. The Colorado Attorney General's office. So this is not just the individuals now. This is the Attorney General. The Colorado Attorney General's office last week filed a discrimination complaint against the owners of Masterpiece Cake Shop. And and the owner had said, we closed down the bakery before we compromise our beliefs. And the latest news is from attorney Nicole Martin that the owner faces up to a year in jail for not baking a cake for the gay couple if convicted. Up to a year in jail. Oh, tolerance, diversity, inclusiveness. Friends, it is sheer double talk. Of course, you know, if you're happy with what happened in the weekend over the sports world, or you shelled out the money to go see the latest high-tech sensational thriller in the movies, and, you know, just got to work to make a living. Who can even think about these other issues, right? Who really cares? Why are you so fixated on it? I'm not. Simply in the news, simply coming our way, simply unavoidable. But here's what encourages me. Here's what encourages me. This is the very fertile ground that brings awakening. These types of cultural crises, coupled with so much lethargy and complacency and worldliness in the church, these things together help produce something in us that wakens us out of our slumber and gets us thinking in revolutionary terms. Namely, we're here to be agents of change through the gospel. That's your mission, friend. That's your destiny. That's who you are.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I threw this question out earlier, just a bunch of different things on my heart I wanted to talk about today on the air. I threw this question out earlier. I want to throw it out again now. 866-348-7884. The same people who are shouting for, quote, a woman's right to choose. So it's a woman's body. It's her right to choose. If she wants to have an abortion for any reason, that's up to her. And whatever part of the pregnancy, however late she wants to have an abortion, it's up to her. Even if it's gender selection, even if it's because she wants a boy and it's a girl, and she wants a girl and it's a boy. The same ones who are clamoring for, quote, the woman's right to choose and are deathly afraid that Roe v. Wade could be overturned or that state after state after state would pass laws against this and offer compassionate alternatives to the mothers. These are the same ones who are clamoring for, quote, gay rights, meaning the full embrace of and celebration of and restructuring of society based on homosexuality, gay rights. We're not talking about treating everyone the same, treating everyone as a fellow human being. Everyone should be treated with respect and dignity and honor, period. Period. That does not mean we embrace everyone's sexual desires or romantic attractions or redefine marriage or society or indoctrinate our kids based on that. But those who are advocating for gay rights are saying that children are born that way. And I played a clip, an almost unbelievable clip, from an ad that's airing now in Australia where there's a couple in the doctor's office having the ultrasound and the doctor says, okay, you want to find out what you're having? Yes. Yeah, okay, you're having a lesbian. Oh, a lesbian. Well, the ones who are clamoring for abortion rights, are they also saying it's okay? Let's say you could, hypothetically, that someone is born this way and hypothetically that you could spot it through an ultrasound or some other genetic testing of some kind. Would it be okay to abort that baby? Would that be okay because you just don't want a gay child? Oh, this question's come up before, but when I saw that ad, I thought, you've got to raise it. Where do you think it would fall? And if you are one of those absolute pro-abortion people, pro-choice, they don't even want to use that term anymore because they realize it's not winning the semantic battle anymore. And of course, they've never been pro-choice. They've been one way. That's the choice they wanted someone to make. And they didn't want people in the Planned Parenthood abortion clinics to be presented with alternatives or ultrasounds or other choices in counseling. But if you hold militantly to the woman's right to choose mentality, so if you could know that your child's going to be gay, would it be okay to abort them based on that? I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to find out what you're thinking. 866-34-TRUTH. All right. Back to the phones, our friend Carlton in Staten Island. How you doing today, man?
Hi, Dr. Brown.
God bless you. I can't hear you. Can't hear you.
Can
you
hear me now?
All right. You're not using a wireless headpiece, are you? Talking right in the phone?
No, just a regular cell phone.
All right. I'm listening.
Okay. Well, I heard Leonard Ravenhill say that there was a preacher back in the day who couldn't fill his church up its listeners. At the same time, in the same city, there was an actor who would fill the playhouse up every night. And the preacher asked the actor, what's your secret? How do you get the house so full? And he responded that, I make fake things seem real, and you make real things seem fake. Where are we as a church in this country that is less than a year ago that the East Coast of this country was slammed with a hurricane that took lives, that took people's, you know, livelihoods away, that caused death? Where are the Christians pouring onto the streets, proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ, and giving glory to God, calling men to repent? Where are they? Where are we?
Well, Carl, you know, if you do that, though, people are going to think you're intolerant and mean-spirited and not nice. And it's more important that people like us than that we speak the truth to them. I mean, after all, isn't that what Jesus said? Don't judge others and be nice. I mean, isn't that the whole gospel? You know, Carlton, of course, Staten Island, you were hit quite severely by Hurricane Sandy. And I'm sure there's still the effects of it today, almost a year later. But I want to go back to what you said about the preacher who couldn't fill his church and the actor who was filling the theater. And the actor told the preacher, the reason is you make real things seem fake. I make fake things seem real. Isn't that so much a picture of our culture? Great quote, Carlton, and thanks for bringing it back to our attention. Isn't that what has happened in our society? Really? Fake things seem real. What happens in the movies or the importance of what happens in sports or the created apparent realities that come through our screens, whatever the screens might be, those seem real. But the real things, God, eternal life, eternal death, ugliness and destructive power of sin, the realm and world of the spirit, and on, those things seem fake. And I can't help but wonder if we feed ourselves one thing in a saturation level, and we don't feed ourselves the truth of the gospel in a near saturation level. Hey, if I had one piece of lettuce for every four burgers and one slice of orange for every 10 milkshakes, what do you think my body would look like and what do you think my health would be like? Isn't it the way we are in the spirit today? Something to think about. Friends, I worked for years in the book of Jeremiah, writing a commentary on the book of Jeremiah for pastors, leaders, and interested students of the word, about 550 pages long. It is printed together with a commentary by another scholar on Ezekiel and another on Lamentations, almost 1,000-page hardcover, beautiful volume. I want to send you a signed copy of my Jeremiah commentary together with the Ezekiel Lamentations commentaries for your gift of $50 or more. We're launching our new TV broadcast. It launches Wednesday on NRB TV Network. That means DirecTV. You can watch it there. Channel 378 Sky Angel, Channel 181, and then many other ways to watch it across the country. We're launching our Apologetics, Answering Your Toughest Questions TV show. Your gift of $50 or more, I want to send you a signed copy of the Jeremiah commentary. It'll bless you deeply, and you'll be helping us when that broadcast starts Wednesday. You'll be saying, yeah, we're part of it. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, the words of Paul have never been more relevant. Ephesians 5, wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. From the world of Hollywood to the world of sports to chaos in the nations to what's happening in America, we'll give you a kingdom perspective on the news today, right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, earlier today, I saw a very gracious quote by someone posting on our website, and they said this. It was very humbling to read, in fact, and it brings a real sense of sobriety when I read it. He said, "Dr. Brown, you're my anchor in Christ. As the tide of life pulls me in one direction or another, it's your ministry that holds me fast. God bless you." Obviously, friends, Jesus and the word of truth, that's our anchor. But I think what he was saying was that as things swirl around him in the church and in the world, that we're able to help point him back to Jesus and to the truth of the word. And friends, that's what we want to do here on The Line of Fire. It's Monday. There's been a whole weekend that's passed. It seems that the world is in constant upheaval. But our God is faithful and strong and immovable, and we who know him should not be moved. 866-348-7884. I've got a lot of things I want to talk to you about, some of them shocking, some in the natural unnerving, but all of them are not unnerving to God. All of them together. If every nation in the world declared war on God right now, if every government declared war on God, if all of the military of all nations declared war on God, if all of the media of all nations declared war on God, if all techies and those in the intellectual world and you name it, if every human being on the planet came together and declared war on God, it'd be the most pitiful moment in human history. It'd be one of those things where God in his mercy and compassion would look down and say, what utter fools they are. You have to stop and think for a minute. There's no weapon that can be formed against God, is there? You're going to shoot him? You're going to kick him? You're going to punch him? You're going to blow him up with a nuclear bomb? You're going to discourage him? You're going to frighten him? You're going to intimidate him? What are you going to do? Obviously nothing. There's no. Well, I'll sin. Well, then we destroy ourselves. There's no weapon that can be formed against God. So if you are in right relationship with God, and your life is given over to him, and you have committed your cause to him, you've taken refuge in him, there's no weapon that can be formed against you. Oh, we might die as martyrs. Oh, we'll certainly go through attacks, and we'll have our share of challenges, no doubt about it whatsoever. No doubt about it whatsoever. However, Isaiah 54:17, a promise to God's servants. No, it's initially a promise to Jerusalem and Israel, but it can be applied spiritually to all of God's servants, as the text tells us. No weapon formed against you will succeed. The way you express that in Hebrew is, every weapon formed against you will not succeed. Kol kli yutzar alayach lo yitzlach. No weapon formed against you will succeed. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, really meaning in a court of law or in a legal case, you will condemn and you will pronounce guilty. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness or their vindication comes from me. So I want to encourage you, friends, as so much as of the world is in upheaval, and if these really are shaking times for America and the nations, if you take refuge in God and surrender your life fully to him so that you don't willfully disobey and rebel against his will, but you cast yourself on him, it is a place of safety and refuge. We come back, I want to talk to you about Egypt, what's happening there, and then I want to pose a philosophical question for you. Especially if you consider yourself a pro-abortion person, I want to pose a question for you. When we come back, and we'll take your calls, 866-348-7884.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, yeah. We need a revolution. Boy, do we need a revolution, but not the kind the world fights, not violence and violence, not intimidation versus intimidation, force versus force. We need a Jesus revolution where we are so radically changed by the Lord, we go and change our world. 866-348-7884. Number to call, my website, askdrbrown.org. Virtually every day, there is a new article that's added. There's a new audio clip that's added. There's a new video clip that's added. There's a new blog post that's added. There are new announcements of things that are happening in ministry. So take advantage of the website. It's there for you, askdrbrown.org. I've got some news to share with you that is so shocking. I'm just going to save it for a moment, okay? I'm going to save it for a moment, but trust me, you want to stay tuned these next few minutes. We really need to pray for God's kingdom purposes for Egypt. It is a nation of over 80 million people. So it's over one-fourth the population of the United States. It is what? Over 90% Muslim. There are over 50 dead today, killed in clashes. Where this is going next, only God knows. It is extremely volatile. By our government backing the election of Mohamed Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood without recognizing the extremism of the Muslim Brotherhood and its radical Islamic history and connections, I can't imagine that we didn't see all this plainly. We end up on the wrong side of the conflict again. You say, well, what is the will of the people? That's really hard to say. You've got the people voting Morsi in, but then him doing things that many were not expecting him to do. Then you've got more radical Islamic factions that are absolutely standing for what was the elected government. You've got the Egyptian military, which is basically the most powerful force right now, aside from just the people rising up. And the people rising up, it's not like they just want a democracy that looks like America and American worldly ways either. Many of them still want Sharia law. It is. And then, of course, others are much more liberal. It's a volatile situation, but even before the massive uprisings in the last couple of weeks, there were Sunni Muslims, because it is a vast majority of Sunnis there, and Sunnis are about 85% of Muslims worldwide, and Shiites 10 to 15% worldwide. They're the minority. Shiites are the majority in a country like Iran, but the minority in these other countries like Egypt and Iraq and so on. There has been violence in Egypt, with Sunnis pulling Shiite Muslims out of their homes and killing them. Of course, they've been doing that with Coptic Christians. In Syria, there has been Sunni-Shia violence on a very, very high level. And I have an article, you can read it on townhall.com, Islam, Violence, and Civil War. And I note this, throughout its 1,400-year history, Islam has been marked by internal violence and bloody factionalism. What is happening today in Egypt and Syria and other Islamic nations is just the most recent manifestation of this deadly phenomenon. Muhammad, who is the model human being for Muslims, carried out acts of violence, including mass beheadings against his foes. Well, the division of Islam into Sunni and Shia began shortly after Muhammad's death in 632 AD, when his followers had a dispute over his successor. Well, ultimately, that leads to the appointment of Ali, who was family member. He becomes the fourth caliph. He ends up getting killed. And anyway, fighting breaks out. You end up having the divisions between the Sunnis and Shiites, which goes back over 1,300 years. And because some of the Shiite leaders were martyred and beheaded, then martyrdom has an even stronger role in Shiite Islam. It's part of the mindset. It's part of the value system. Now think of this for a minute. All right. Think of this. In Iraq, many of the suicide bombings involve Muslims blowing up other Muslims. The Iran-Iraq War in the 1980s, which may have cost 500,000 lives, I mean, terribly costly, devastating war, that also had, in a major way, clash between Shiites in Iran and Sunnis in Iraq. You say, yeah, but Christianity had its civil wars, other religions have their civil wars. Okay, please tell me how many church leaders in one group were killed by church leaders in another group in the first few hundred years of church history? How many were massacred? How many decapitated? How about zero? And there is a website that's called the Religion of Peace. Obviously, it's a sarcastic name for it. The Religion of Peace website. And it points these things out and gives sources for all of them. More people are killed by Islamists each year than in all 350 years of the Spanish Inquisition combined. Islamic terrorists murder more people every day than the Ku Klux Klan has in the last 50 years. More civilians were killed by Muslim extremists in 2 hours on September 11th than in the 36 years of sectarian conflict in Northern Ireland. 19 Muslim hijackers killed more innocents in 2 hours on September 11th than the number of American criminals executed in the last 65 years. And then the website, which gives you a daily count on Islamic acts of violence, all the more reason that we pray for the Muslim world to be visited by the kingdom of God, that we pray for God's missional purposes in Egypt. Read Isaiah 19. Read the end of that chapter. I read from it last week where it speaks a promise of blessing coming to Egypt. At the end of the age, it speaks of Assyria, which is Iraq, and Egypt, together with Israel, worshiping Yahweh, worshiping the God of Israel together. So we need to pray, Lord, your kingdom come to Egypt. Your will be done. May there be a revival there. May there be an outpouring of the Spirit in the social turmoil, in the chaos. May there be a massive turning to God. So, Religion of Peace website gives this count from, well, this was as of 2 days ago, July 6th, Lahore, Pakistan. 4 people, including a child, are blown to bits by Muslim bombers outside a restaurant. July 6th, Patsikum, Nigeria. Islamists massacre over 40 students and teachers at a school, in some cases burning children alive. This just happened. Maybe you didn't catch it because you're at the movies or watching sports. Sorry, didn't mean to be sarcastic there. Of course I did. According to Associated Press, Islamic militants from Boko Haram group and breakaway groups have killed more than 1,600 civilians in Nigeria in suicide bombings and other attacks since 2010. Many of these are Christians who have been killed. Some cases it's Muslims killing Muslims. July 6th, Al-Arish, Egypt. Islamic gunmen murder a Coptic priest. July 5th, Baghdad, Iraq. A Sunni suicide bomber manages to take out over 15 Shia worshippers at their mosque. July 5th, Uruzgan, Afghanistan. A dozen souls in a dining hall are taken out by a Shahid suicide bomber. July 5th, Samarra, Iraq. A Shahid suicide bomber detonates near a rival mosque, incinerating 4 worshippers. This just a little glimpse of the violence of Islam. Now, not all Muslims are violent, and the vast majority of Muslims are not blowing themselves up and killing other Muslims and killing other Christians, but Islam gives itself to violence. The example of Muhammad is a violent example at times, a brutally violent example. The conflicts with the early followers, Islam growing through the sword, the split, the violent split between Sunni and Shia, the verses in the Quran that can be used to advocate violence, all of that feeds into human flesh, human sin, to produce this cycle of violence that we see. Contrast that with the example of Jesus. Contrast that with the New Testament example of the one who said, put down your sword, Peter. Put your sword back into your sheath, Peter. All those who live by the sword will die by the sword. And Jesus telling Pilate, if my kingdom were of this world, meaning derived from this world or an earthly, worldly affair, then my servants would fight for me that I wouldn't be delivered into your hands. But no, my kingdom is from another place. The authority that we fight with is not earthly authority. It's a heavenly spiritual authority. And the fighting we do is not by screaming and yelling at people. The fighting that we do is not with guns and bombs. I'm not talking about Christians cannot go to war for a just war. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we do not advance the gospel through bloodshed and intimidation. That is the exact opposite of everything Jesus stood for, which is why the followers of Jesus are the ones being persecuted rather than being the persecutors. We come back. Do you know that in England, they are now changing dictionary definitions? That a husband doesn't have to be a man? Oh, and do you know about the new bill in California? You will when we come back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. To read my latest two articles, God's Not Threatened by Your Honest Questions and Islam Violence and Civil War, just go to askdrbrown.org. Okay. News from England. I think I'm going to write about this. Oh, this is old news. Now it's 11 days old. Just haven't gotten to it on the air yet. Are you ready? This is the headline. It's from the Telegraph. Men can be, quote, wives and women, quote, husbands as government overrules the dictionary. I'm not making this up. It's too crazy to make up. Civil servants have overruled the Oxford English Dictionary and hundreds of years of common usage, effectively abolishing the traditional meaning of the words for spouses. The landmark change is contained in the fine print of a new official legal guidance drawn up for MPs, these political leaders and peers, as the government's same-sex marriage bill is debated. It comes as part of a government initiative to, quote, clarify what words will mean when gay marriage becomes law. They condemn the system adopted in some countries, such as Spain, where parents are sometimes referred to as progenitor A and progenitor B. They said, well, that's Orwellian. Now they're going to do something far more enlightened, far less Orwellian. So in the new definitions, husband will include a man or a woman in a same-sex marriage, as well as a man married to a woman. In a similar way, wife will include a woman married to another woman or a man married to a man. So a husband will have to say, oh, that's my husband. He could now refer to the man as his wife. Why even use words? Why even use words? If we are going to redefine yes to mean no and no to mean yes, why even use words? If I point up and it could mean up or it could mean down, why point? 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, let's listen to these lovely clips. This is, oh, I'm sure you want to go see this animated children's flick. The Box Trolls.
Sometimes there's a mother. Sometimes there's a father. Sometimes there's a father and a father. Sometimes both fathers are mothers.
Did you get that? Sometimes fathers are mothers. Getting a little confused. Maybe that's because I'm not a little child. I'm just not innocent and naive enough. And in fact, Joey, Let's go to clip number 5 instead. Tell me when you have it ready. This is an ad for Kindle, Amazon, for their e-reader, the most popular e-reader. It's a TV commercial. Let's listen to clip number 5.
That's a Kindle, right?
Yeah, it's a new Kindle Paperwhite.
I love to read at the beach, but
this is perfect at the beach. And with the built-in light, I can read anywhere, anytime.
Done.
With your book?
Nope. I just bought a Kindle Paperwhite. We should celebrate.
My husband's bringing me a drink right now.
So is mine.
Oh, how sweet. There's a little surprise there. It's not just about a Kindle. It's about gay activism. Oh, didn't know. Oh, just so sweet there. Her husband's coming and his husband's coming. But wait a second. He apparently doesn't know the news from England. Matt, he could say, well, my wife is coming and the wife could be a man. Yes. Amazon, man, you are behind the times. Need to catch up. And then I played this in the first hour, but I want to play it again in this hour. And I want to raise a philosophical question for you, which we'll take up on the other side of the break. This is now being aired in Australia. There's a couple. They're in for an ultrasound. The doctor's doing the ultrasound. The mom and dad, prospective mom and dad, they're looking at the screen. And doctor's telling them everything seems to be fine. Listen to the ensuing dialogue.
Well, everything seems to be coming along fine. Now, would you like to know what you're having?
We would.
You're having a lesbian.
Lesbian.
And the whole, yeah, this is actually out there. We just pulled a clip from YouTube. A colleague sent it out over the weekend, and we just grabbed the audio, put up. This is a TV ad for Australia to say, hey, you know, your child could be gay, so just be more affirming, accepting, and kids are born that way, and all the little propaganda rolled into one. Again, as I said in the first hour, there is zero reputable scientific evidence that someone is born lesbian or born gay. At most, someone may have more tendencies, which in a certain environment could develop into homosexuality. But as is often pointed out, correlation is not causation, predisposition is not predestination. To repeat, there is no reputable scientific evidence that someone is born gay. And of course, as a believer, you say, well, even if they were, everyone's born messed up one way or another. We're born in sin. We need to be redeemed. We're fundamentally flawed. So if someone's born whatever, they need to be born again. Okay, I understand that. But I'm just saying from a scientific viewpoint. But here's the thing now. And I raised this already, and a queer thing happened to America. Reverend Dr. Al Mohler raised similar issues some time ago. But let's just say a test could be done to determine whether the child would be, quote, gay. You're going to have a gay child. Would those who are standing up for, who are champions for the woman's right to choose, and if you want to have an abortion, that's your body, you have a right to choose, even if it's the doctors tell you it's going to be a boy and you want a girl, you should have the right to abort even for that? Would they say, oh, yeah, sure, parents, if you want to abort because you don't want that kid to come into the world where they're going to be misunderstood, or you just would rather have a heterosexual, go ahead and kill that baby. I wonder where they would fall on that. You get my point? It's a bit of a conundrum for those that are, quote, liberal. So if you're a, quote, pro-choice person, pro-abortion person, where would you stand on that? Would a woman have the right to abort her baby if she could find out in advance it was going to be gay? Or what if they could give a cure? What if they found out, okay, here's the genetic issue. We can give a cure so the kid will be heterosexual. Is that okay? Could we devote scientific funding for that? Something to talk about. All right, friends, Wednesday, 2 days from now, we launch Answering Your Toughest Questions, starting with Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus on national TV. If you get DirecTV, it's channel 378. You get Sky Angel, channel 181, and many other ways to watch live online and an Android app and so on. We'll have all that info posted on our website tomorrow for you. But we're launching our show, and we'd love for you to be one of our first partners standing with us. I worked for 3+ years on my commentary in the book of Jeremiah. It's over 550 pages. It's printed together in beautiful hardcover with a commentary on Ezekiel and one on Lamentations by other scholars. Your gift of $50 or more, I will sign one of the Jeremiah commentaries for you for partnering with us to launch this show nationally on TV. Call us right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the line of fire, 866-348-7884. You know, Mondays sometimes are kind of a media Monday. So much happens in the news, so many things going on that I want to talk to you about, get your perspective on, interact with you on, and above all, bring a kingdom perspective, bring a wake-up call, and then give us hope that in the midst of the chaos and conflict, God is at work. 866-348-7884. Have you heard about this? It's actually a few days back, right before the July 4th break. In Sacramento, California, state lawmakers are sending Governor Jerry Brown a bill that would require California's public K through 12 schools to let transgender students choose which restrooms they use and which school teams they join based on their gender identity instead of their chromosomes. In other words, Johnny, who believes he's Jane, he's 7 years old. He announces that he is Jane. Not only does he use the girls' bathroom, but he then plays on the girls' sports team. Samantha, who's 15 and believes that she's actually Alan, boy, she not only uses the boys' bathroom, she actually gets to play on the boys' basketball team or football team because she is actually he. Now, I want to say once again that these types of situations remind us of the depth of compassion needed, the depth of compassion needed in dealing with these kids who are troubled and confused and families struggling with these issues. But unless we, God's people, stand our ground with love and say, hey, this is moral and social insanity, unless we do that, point of fact, very, very simple, we are doing a terrible disservice to our culture, to our nation. We should know better. And there have been leaders, ministries for years, long before God laid it on my heart to deal with this, that were raising their voices and sounding the alarm. And now, you know where things are going? This is getting widely reported. And Joey, we've just got time to play this. Clip number 10. We got plenty of time to play this. Guess who just marched in the Gay Pride Parade in San Francisco? First time. Oh, isn't this something to celebrate? Let's listen. Who is it? Oh, you should see the video clip. It's the Girl Scout. Yeah, the Girl Scouts marching in the San Francisco Gay Pride Parade. But of course, and then you've probably heard the report of the street preachers just holding up signs, repent or perish type of signs. Not the approach I would use, but simply what they felt was the right thing to do in the midst of a gay pride event. And next thing, crowd starts surrounding them. Others trying to pull people off. But next thing, people pull them to the ground, pulling the sign down. One guy starts assaulting and beating it. It all got videotaped. And the thing I was actually glad to see that they arrested the right people. Because there is a Christian law firm or legal organization, I should say, in England. And it started, the man who started it had a good practice, everything doing well. And he saw a situation where a street preacher was attacked by an angry homosexual crowd, and they arrested the street preacher in England. And he said, I've got to do something about this. All right, we come back. We're going to take your calls and talk through some issues.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, tomorrow, just a programming note, we're going to have cessationist call-in day. Cessationist call-in day. If you believe that the gifts and power of the New Testament, the gifts and power of the Spirit described in the New Testament are not to be normative today, the so-called sign gifts, prophecy and tongues and miraculous healings are not normative today. Those things ceased with the closing of the New Testament canon, or those things ceased with the death of the apostles. Please, tomorrow's your day to call in. I do not hold to that view, but as always, we want to have a respectful, friendly discussion. If you're a pastor that holds to that, if you're a seminary professor that holds to that, if you're an apologist that holds to that, or if you're simply a follower of Jesus that holds to that, I would love to hear from you tomorrow on our cessationist call-in day on Tuesday. 866-348-7884. Before I go to the phones, let's play this clip. And friends, I want to give you a context to this in a moment. This takes place in Seattle, and the video of this is getting a ton of attention. Yeah, number 13, Joey. I want to give you my thoughts on it in a moment, but just so you recognize that the spirit of tolerance goes one way only. This is a report on what happened. There's any profanities bleeped out and things like that. But this is something that tons of people are watching on YouTube right now all around the world.
On a day that was supposed to celebrate tolerance, fists were flying after a confrontation between a group of people and two street preachers.
This is when it first started to turn ugly at Sunday's Gay Pride Fest celebration. Two street preachers were protesting the event.
What I heard the street preachers saying to these people essentially was, repent or go to hell.
Rogue, who doesn't want to reveal his identity, kept his camera rolling and was shocked by what came next. While she warns one preacher to leave.
If I were you, I would leave. If I were you, I would leave.
Query surprises the other street preacher from behind. It's about to go from bad to worse. A pack mentality appears to set in. A group of girls try to grab the preacher's sign. Rogue says he knows society has come a long way, tolerating different lifestyles.
But actually, this video shows we have a ways to go.
Yeah, well, again, I was glad to see the police arrest the right person. The sign they were holding said, covetousness is sin. Materialism, pornography, drug use, rock music, drunkenness, TV worship, Jesus saves from sin. The t-shirt said, trust Jesus. The fact is, on the list there, that homosexuality was not on the sign. Now, you might say, well, is all rock music sin? And that, you know, okay, again, that side debate there. But in plenty of it is, obviously. But the fact is, they got attacked. Now, did they get attacked by everyone at the event? No, they didn't. And I don't want to compare that to Christians getting martyred today in different parts of the world. And I don't want to minimize the fact that some of the people there that were screaming and yelling might have gotten beaten up by kids in school because they were different. All right? I want to recognize that. I simply want to say that we can expect more extreme forms of hatred towards us, and even violence towards us. Now, if I'm talking to somebody about the Lord, and I realize as we're chatting that they're gay or lesbian, that's not my focus. My focus is on calling them to repentance and calling them to Jesus. And if subjects come up, I'll be totally candid with them. I've got no issue with that. But I just want to say that what happened here, although not as extreme as we might think, again, you've got a crowd there. You've got some people who've been drinking. You've got the main perpetrator has been arrested quite a number of times. The guy that did the punching, but I don't want to blow it out of proportion. The fact is, it is a microcosm of the anger and hatred towards what is looked at as traditional religion, the anger and hatred of that which is looked at as the gospel. And you might say, well, you know, you should have used a more wise approach. And you could debate, you could discuss it. That's all perfectly fine. All perfectly fine. All I'm saying is that this hostility is coming our way. If you simply say, you know, I don't want that stuff taught in my schools, you will get anger and hostility towards you. If you're on a college campus and you differ with a professor who has a particular agenda, you will get anger and hostility towards you, and you will be ridiculed. There may not be physical violence, but there will be intellectual and emotional violence and verbal violence that comes your way. 866-348-7884. Let's go to the phones. And I still just curious about my question. I know the vast majority of you listening are pro-life. The vast majority of you listening share my abhorrence to killing babies in the womb. But there are some of you that are furious with me for using that terminology. And you believe that a woman, ultimately, it's her body, she should have the right to choose. Well, what if there was such a thing as determining that a child was going to be homosexual in the womb? There is no such thing. But let's just say there could be a test that could determine it. Would that woman then still have the right to abort the baby because she doesn't want to have a gay child? 866-348-7884. Sergio in Largo, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
First of all, Dr. Brown, you are an absolute inspiration to me every single day. I just want to say that. And I know a lot of people say that to you because you stand up for what is right. I just want to say, you're not the only soldier. I'm there, right there with you, sir.
Well, God bless you, man. And by the way, the last thing I feel is alone. I wish that there were a ton more believers with moral backbone taking stands on many issues, but there are plenty of courageous men and women of God in the workplace, in the homes, and behind the pulpits, just all too few. That's the grievous thing.
Okay, the reason why I was calling, sir, and you're 100% right, the reason is I'm going to break this down as quick as I can in a nutshell. Sexual immorality or sexualism, period. If you do it out of the line of being in a godly sense, meaning you meet your girl or the girl meets the guy, and then you get married, and then, you know, you start having a normal marriage, you start having a normal life according to God, and that is great. That is a beautiful thing. But that's not what's been going on for the last, I don't know how many hundreds of years. Where society has come now, since the early 1900s, it's just become the part of a guy, so the word I'm actually going to be using is, he uses sex to such an extent, okay, that using it in a normal sense now is not any good for him. And I apologize if this is not too appropriate in my vocabulary, but...
Yeah, well, tell you what, hang on. I think those that understand where you're going without you speaking further. I even though I say a lot on the show, I'm always conscious of the fact that we have listeners of all ages. But are you saying that basically we have given ourselves so much to sex and the flesh that now to satisfy we need more perverse actions and forms of it? Is that it?
That is exactly what I'm saying. It's just I think gayness is just an extreme form of aversion for many years, and now that it's become such a big part of our society that now it's become discriminatory that we actually said this is not right. Now,
tell you what, I've just got a break coming up. I apologize for cutting you off. I've got a break, but let me just throw this in. I see it just a little bit different angle. What I see is with this, but very, very, very related, okay? There are many people that engage in all kinds of sexual acts, I imagine, because they get tired of whatever they're doing, or it's not in a healthy, holy relationship, and therefore the flesh is never satisfied. So that could well be the case. But what I see is the emphasis is on me. The emphasis is on self. This comes out of the counterculture revolution. If it feels good, do it. And therefore, morality is based on who I am versus who God is. And therefore, if someone has a desire and it's same sex and that's what they've always felt, then it must therefore be right. And they should have the right to do it and have the right to have a relationship built on that. It's all about me. That, to me, is the great idolatry. Hey, Sergio, thank you, sir, for the call. I appreciate it.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for being part of the Line of Fire broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH. As society is in massive upheaval around us, for insights on the Islamic world, read my article, Islam, Violence, and Civil War. You can read it by going to AskDrBrown.org and just clicking on the latest article there. The world is in tremendous upheaval. Our society is in tremendous upheaval. And yet so many believers are still just kind of playing it safe, conservative, not want to rock the boat. Now, friends, this is why we've been brought into the world. It's harvest time. It's time to stand. It's time to live for God. And the good thing is, I feel there's a holy push from heaven pushing us out of neutrality, saying, get on one side or the other, take a stand, do what's right. God's saying either be for me or against me. And when we're for him, ultimately, we're for other people. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Modesto in Mesa, Arizona. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. My name is Chaplain Cruz. You're right on the money, brother. A lot of Christians don't want to rock the boat, don't want to be upfront with what they believe. And the problem is basically the pastors in the churches, brother. Here's one of the solutions that I proposed. I have proposed this various times to various ministries. If at least 2 million Christians in this nation would withdraw their children from school, I guarantee you that this will stop. Not only that, look what the bill that just passed in California, San Francisco. Look at the case of the transsexual little child in Colorado. And I've been saying that in the next 3 to 7 to 10 years, homosexual marriage will be the law of the land unless Christians make a statement, and we either do a peaceful demonstration by the millions, not thousands, by millions of millions, and we go out in the streets and say, we are not taking this anymore, this is too far, and unless we dare to preach it and say it like it is, no matter what the consequences are, this is going to get worse and worse and worse, just like you said.
Yeah, you know, the thing that's so critically important to understand is that it's not a matter of just live and let live. In other words, if my neighbor is into pornography, if my neighbor has a gambling habit, if my neighbor is a man living with another man, if it's a man living with a woman out of wedlock, they're neighbors. Okay, I'm going to reach out to them as neighbors. I'm going to share the love of God with them. If I see their garbage cans knocked over at night, I'll go and pick it up and put the garbage back in it. And, you know, they're neighbors. However, when that now comes so that your kids are going to have to say, okay, whatever their lifestyle is, this is the norm because this is what's taught in the schools. And you must now affirm that. And if you don't affirm that, you're a bigot and you go to jail. Or if you preach against it, there could be a penalty, or on and on and on. Those who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet. That's why it becomes an issue for national awakening. And in point of fact, gay activists have said that it's their goal within the next 5 years, 10 at the longest, but within the next 5 years, to make gay marriage the law of the land, which would mean the 31 states that voted and said marriage is the union of a man and a woman, that there would be an attempt to overturn that by the courts and thereby overturn the will of the people. Well, what are you going to do? Just sit back and smile and say, well, praise the Lord, we're not supposed to judge, or realize that this is ultimately the ultimate attack on freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of conscience. So the biggest thing we have to do is repent of our own sin, our own lethargy, our own compromise, from the pulpit to the pew, to use traditional terminology. We have to start there. Right. And as we start there and turn to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me for my sin and my uncleanness and my complacency and my making a mess of marriage and whatever else it's been, and then start to live for God seriously, it is revival or we die. It really is. And I believe, and thank you, sir, for the call. And by the way, the question about everyone pulling kids out of school, you have to have a plan. And of course, this chaplain's telling us you have to have a plan. But you don't just do it one day. There's got to be a national plan with a national alternative for the children, et cetera, where churches work together to provide ways that everyone still gets education. But here's the bottom line. Thank you again for the call. The bottom line is this. We don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. There is no more room for simple neutrality. You will either embrace and celebrate something that is not God's best for people, not God's best for the human race, not God's best for society. You'll either do that or you'll stand up for what's right, regardless of cost or consequence. I also want to say this plainly. In many ways, the church has been far more political than evangelistic, and we have really failed to share the gospel with compassion and long-suffering with those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. I believe there's going to be a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit among those who do identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. The question is, will the churches be ready? Will we be ready for a man coming into our services wearing a dress and carrying a Bible? Will we be ready for a lesbian couple coming in and sitting in the front row and raising their hands during worship, and they're brand new? Will we be ready for that as little by little we help bring them to the Lord and disciple them and really watch God work a miracle in their lives? You know what? I'm going to start my bottom line earlier so I can get in this great quote from Mark Twain. Thanks, Matt, for sending it my way. I want to encourage everyone to live by it. I'll share it with you in a moment. But first, we go live on national TV. Well, national TV, not live, but our recorded shows, answering your toughest questions beginning this Wednesday. I'll give you all the viewing info tomorrow. We'll have it on our website tomorrow. I want to encourage you to be one of our very first partners. I spent 3 years of diligent work and study writing a commentary in the book of Jeremiah that I believe will bring you into a deep confrontation with the truth of God, the prophetic heart. It's 550 pages. It's printed together with a commentary on Ezekiel and a commentary on Lamentations by other scholars, and together over 1,000 pages long. Your gift of $50, hardcover, beautiful hardcover, I want to sign a copy for you as you partner with us to launch our TV show. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, to quote the words of Mark Twain, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the ones you did do. So throw off the bowlines, sail away from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, discover. That's my bottom line today, friends. And if you can only take away three words, take away explore, dream, discover.